that in order to live to give, you know, we have to begin to develop this heart of gratitude. And I said the very first week that when we begin to understand grace, when grace begins to filter into every area of our lives, and we really understand what the grace gift of God is through his Son, through the person of Jesus Christ, when we begin to really know in the depths of our heart that through his grace, let me get another.
Let me go Mitchell side.
Yeah. That through his grace, that we have forgiveness of our sins, past, present, and future. Because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross and through his resurrection, we have a purpose to wake up every day to and to live out his destiny, his plan, his purpose for our lives. And that we have a promise to be with him forever in eternity. When we really begin to grasp that, what has to happen is our gratitude begins to fill up. Grace begins to pour in and our gratitude fills up, and we're able to begin to develop this attitude of gratitude where we begin to just overflow with thanksgiving for what God has done for us. You know, and when we have that gratitude, it can't stay put, right? It can't stay put. Generosity has to flow out of that. Generosity begins to flow out of that in our smiles, in our words. We're kinder people, right? In our actions, we just become more generous with everything. We begin to understand how to live to give. And we learned that second week that generosity, when it's given through us, when we really begin to live to give and be a person of generosity, that it displays the very character of God. That it points people to God and to Jesus Christ through the way that we just give our lives away. We also, not only does it point people to God, but it also changes me. It changes you. When you begin to have this generosity flow out of you, it changes you. It gets rid of that selfish me, you know, that selfish money. It gets, you know, all that, it's all got to be about me. It gets rid of that so that I can begin to really develop the love that God has placed in me. I can really begin to give that love away to my God and to others. And then last week, through the Stubblefield story, and if you haven't, or you weren't here and you didn't hear their story, I encourage you to go and listen online to their story. But we learned that, you know, this call that God has on our lives to live to give is a call that says, hey, I want you to live to give no matter what circumstances you walk through in life. And when we surrender to that call and we say, okay, God, I'm gonna do that. I'm going to be generous with the story that you have given me. It doesn't matter how painful that story is or how much suffering I go through. That God, I'm going to continue to live, to give, and be generous with the story of my life. And that through that, people are pointed to God. And through my pain, through your suffering, it can be, it can help someone else go through their situation, through their life, through their pain. It can be for their gain. And it's a beautiful thing. It's just a beautiful thing. Well, today I want to finish this series by talking about living to give with excellence. Living to give with excellence. And by the way, did anybody notice what we usually do in the service that we have not done yet? Yeah, the offering. You people with the gift of giving going, where was the plates? Well, that was deliberate, right? And we're going to do that at the end of the service this morning. And I was talking with the staff and just talking about it and thinking about over this past few weeks about how an offering is actually a part of worship. It's something we do to express our hearts to God, but usually we don't talk about it much, right? We don't talk about, well, how do I use that time in my life, in my relationship with God? How do I, you know, what should I do during the offering? What's that moment supposed to be like? And I don't think I've ever done a message about how to prepare for that or how to use that or what the spirit of that moment ought to be. And so I'm going to talk about that a little bit this morning. But I want to start with a story that happened to me 15 to 16 years ago. Me and another buddy of mine got invited to go to an African-American youth conference. And it was a weekend conference, and they invited us to come on the last day and the celebration day when all the leaders, it was a leadership kind of conference for youth workers, and we go, and we get there a little late, and it is packed. The church that we go to is packed, and so we just said standing room only. So we stand right in the back of the auditorium, just up against the wall, and we had to stand for the whole the whole service, and it was long. But the worship was amazing, and just the message. But the best part of it, the absolute highlight of the service, was actually the offering. And it came toward the end, and I never forget the moment. You know, we're standing there, and the leader or the pastor gets up, and he just begins to kind of fire the crowd up a little bit more, and he says, "Are you thankful? Are you grateful that you've been here this weekend?" And all of them going, "Yes, yes, it was awesome, right?" And are you thankful that God has called you to be in the lives of young people and to share with them the love of Jesus? Yes, yes, we're going. And he kept saying, "It's a gift from God," and they'd shout, "It's a gift from God," right? And then he began to lead them into the offering time, and it wasn't like, you know, they didn't pass the plates. No, you were required to walk down front with your offering, right? And so, you know, you just came out, and then she starts calling them down, "Come down and, you know, bring your offering to the front." And it wasn't like a secret little thing, like you give a tip or whatever. You don't want anybody to see how much you're giving. I mean, it was visible. And so I'm looking at my buddy next to him. I go, "Bro, I didn't bring any money. I ain't got no cash." And he said, "That's usual, you know." And so he slipped me a $10 bill. We didn't know if we were going to go down or not. We're just kind of standing there just watching this moment. It was so electric and so worshipful as people began to file out into the house and just walk down and to give and bring their offering to the front. And I'll never forget one lady. She comes out and she's got, you know, her offering in her hand. And she says, "You know, God's blessed me, and I'm so thankful I get to be a part of this. You know, I get to be a part of what God is doing." And she just kind of comes down and she starts doing a little jig and dancing. You know, it's like, "Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness." And, you know, and so I'm standing there, and I'm going, what are we going to do? You know, are we supposed to go down? And so the guy at the front, the leader, finally says, he stopped, you know, not as many people are coming down. And he looks back there in the back, and he sees us standing there. And he says, "And how about our bus drivers in the back?" He thought we were the bus drivers. And that was all right. Well, I'm looking at my boy. You know, yeah, it's us. We're the bus driver. "Hey, do you have an offering to give? Are you thankful, grateful for God today, tonight?" You know, and I looked at him going, "Let's go, brother." And we, you know, we didn't dance because we couldn't even walk in rhythm. You know, it's kind of like getting down there. Hiding my little $10 bill that he gave me. Actually, I had never paid him back for that either. I just thought about that. Interest on that's going to be. But, you know, as I reflect on that time, and especially that woman as she went down that aisle, so radiant, so excited, so cheerful, dancing down that aisle. As I reflect on it over the years, I begin to think that giving, right, giving when it's done right, really is a form of dancing. So I thought I'd talk for a few moments on how to turn giving into dancing. And then when the offering time comes at the end, we're all going to dance. Metaphorically. Praise Jesus, right? We're going to give whatever we have to offer to our God. And if you're not prepared to give today, or, you know, if it's your first time here again, you know, don't worry about that. It's not so much what you put into the plate or to the bucket. I'm looking for us to begin to understand the spirit of gratitude and the spirit of trust, trusting in our God. You know, as a pastor, I've seen a lot of offering buckets pass at a lot of church services, and I've yet to see someone get out of their seat and stand in or stand on the plate, right, and attempt to pass it. That would break. For some of us, that would break the plate, probably, but then that would seem a little strange. But really, that's precisely what we're doing when we give back to God, right? I mean, the person that lives to give is really giving their time and their talent and their treasure to our God. We're actually saying, "Okay, God, I want to live to give, and I'm going all in. I'm going all in." I love how Paul encourages the church of Corinth. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Corinthians 8:7. And as you go there, this is one of the verses I just encourage you to highlight. the language is so beautiful to me. And Paul's encouraging the church of Corinth, and he says in verse 7, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, he says, "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love that we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." Isn't that beautiful? Since you excel at everything. And if you know much about this letter to the church at Corinth, it was a place there where people were really into how gifted they were. And they could actually get a little boastful and competitive about it. So I think as I read that, maybe Paul was putting that in air quotes, right? Since you excel in everything, right? Since you excel in everything. And I thought about us. You know, we get all pumped up about how much we know and about how much we do and how much we achieve. And I think of really all of us, and especially our students, in the culture in which we live in, the pressure to excel is always there every day, right? And so the words come to us this morning. Since you excel in everything, see that you excel in the grace of giving. Two words that describe those two dynamics in giving. They're really so striking to me. And one of them is the word excel. It's the English word excel comes from the Greek word parousio, and it means above and beyond, or to go beyond all measure. It's really a stretching kind of word. Excel at it. Don't just do it. Excel at it. You know, pay attention to it, study it, practice it, work on it. It's just the same as, you know, often as we as people in leadership or in scholarship or on the golf course or in our hobbies or something, you know, we're always trying to excel, to do the best we can. And as Paul's saying, excel, aim at excellence in generosity. Live to give. Excel at the grace of giving. And so then he says, he doesn't say excel in your obligation to give or excel in the duty to give or excel because there's pressure on you to give. He says excel in the grace of giving. You know, don't be a, you know, gritted teeth kind of giver or a clenched fist kind of giver, right? Don't ask how much do I have to or how much am I supposed to, how much, you know, should I, you know. Don't do that. Just turn your giving into dancing. Excel at the grace of giving. It's beautiful. So as I wrap up this series, I want to spend a few moments on this. You know, what can I do? What can we do as a church or a congregation? What can you do to excel in the grace of giving? First is this. People who excel in the grace of giving will intentionally share their resources. And by resources, I don't just mean money. I mean, it's a big part of it, but really it's anything that you can leverage for eternal purposes. You know, it's your time, it's your talent, it's definitely your treasure. It's anything, your car, your I've said this before, your home, anything that you can leverage for eternal purpose. People who excel in the grace of giving are really good. They're really intentional about sharing those things in their life. And one thing I've noticed about them is a lot of times they do it spontaneously, right? It's just, you know, giving spontaneously is kind of like a spirit-led generosity. And they're just always ready. Whenever the Holy Spirit kind of nudges them, they're ready to give. And you know, and you might say, well, you know, is that kind of poorly planned? No. People who excel in the grace of giving, you know, it involves budgeting, right? You have to create financial margin so that you can meet needs and seize opportunities when the Holy Spirit prompts you to do so. And my father was so good at this. He always carried cash. And I didn't carry cash because I didn't even have a $10 bill. I couldn't be spontaneous in that moment, right? And whenever the Holy Spirit would nudge him, he'd say, hey, here. And there's many ways to do that. It's not just, it's not just about money. There's many ways to be generous that have nothing to do with money. And if you're going to give of your time spontaneously, right? You have to create margin in your calendar just as well. Right? You have to begin to plan for that. And I love how the Apostle Paul applauded the spontaneity and the generosity of the Macedonian Christians. He says there in 2 Corinthians 8:5, just before, and I love it in the Message paraphrase, he said how they were giving to him, that this was totally spontaneous. Again, he's encouraging the church of Corinth, you know, and saying, look at this body. They were just totally spontaneous, entirely their own idea. And Paul says it caught us completely off guard. It's just pure generosity, right? And I want to share with you, there are few things that are more fun than being on either side of that generosity. I mean, it's just fun for both sides. So exciting. I've shared with you before, we live over by Florida Southern, and behind our house are the intramural fields for Florida Southern College. And so one Saturday, they were out there playing whatever intramural was of that season, and Kim gets this spontaneous idea of, let's take some popsicles. You know, and so we look, I eat popsicles. That's kind of one of my sins, I guess, or whatever. Not a sin. It's good, right? It's one of my vices that I love popsicles. And so I look, and I only got one box of popsicles. And so I said, let's go buy some. So we ended up having to go spontaneously go buy some, probably get a boxes of popsicles. We go out on the field, right, and just start handing out popsicles. Just handing out, just a spontaneous way to you know, invest and pour into the lives of young people. And they were just so excited. They were, yay! And it made us excited. I'm responsible to leverage my stuff for eternal purposes. And not only are people excel in the grace of giving by intentionally sharing the resources, not only they're spontaneous, but they're also consistent. They're consistent with their giving. You know, there's a regularity to it. There's a discipline to their giving. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16:2, he says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. They're consistent. And one of the ways that Kim and I try to put this principle into practice is, you know, we every year kind of set up this reoccurring giving with the points of passion that we support here at the church, or those kingdom causes that we give, you know, personally to. And so we want to make sure that every year we're kind of scheduling that, you know, and budgeting that, you know, and making sure that's a consistent gift that we give year after year. And, you know, does that stop us from being spontaneous? Of course not. But consistent giving points us in the direction of our giving goals. And then the other thing is, people that excel in this way do it proportionally. And I've shared this with you before. It's not equal giving, but it's equal sacrifice, right? The Bible teaches us to become a percentage giver. The Bible calls it the tithe. And tithing comes from a Hebrew word that literally means the tenth part, or one-tenth, or 10%. Of your income. The practice of tithing is giving 10% of my income back to God. And I mention this because sometimes we'll throw the word tithe around loosely. You know, somebody might say something like, I'll give a tithe of $10. Well, in case, you know, you're a little math challenge, if $10 was a literal tithe, that would mean your actual income, your actual salary is $100, right? Tithe is a 10% deal. And that's really what tithe means, a tenth part of one's annual income. But let me kind of just go to a graduate school level of generosity. It's not any 10%. It's the first 10%. And as such, the tithe wasn't just an act of obedience under the old covenant. It was a statement of faith. It's a statement of faith. This is what we're going to do. It's going to be the first. And I struggled with this as a young man. I'd get to the end of the month, or definitely the end, and I'd look and I'd go, wow, I didn't tithe. Oh my goodness. And so I'm always trying to catch up. And here's what I began to realize what I was doing. I was just giving God the leftovers. You know, and I wasn't intentionally doing that. Nobody intentionally becomes ungenerous. I mean, I wanted to tithe. I wanted to be a tither, but I found myself just giving leftovers. And let me just say this. God didn't do the leftover thing. God's plan for us is not the leftover thing. And I realized that I wasn't being obedient to God in my finances if I just tried to do the leftover thing every month or every year. I kind of kept trying to catch up. Neither tithing or generosity will ever happen if I use the leftover approach to what God has blessed me with. And this principle comes from the Bible. It's called first fruits. The Bible was written back when people were in an agrarian economy, so their main financial asset was agriculture, and so they would honor God right off the top, the first of their crops. And it comes from Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 that says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. The idea is that when I get paid, the very first thing I do with my money, the first portion I set aside to give God. And I say, God, right off the top, this belongs to you. And that's the first fruit principle. And so the tithe is not just a tenth, it's the first tenth of my income. In Israel, people were so committed to this that farmers would go to their fields, and when they saw a tree about to bear fruit, the very first ones, they would tie a reed around that so they would know that that goes to God. I'm going to trust that, to God. He's going to keep me, and he's going to bless the harvest. And they tended to be more aware of their dependence upon God to be alive than maybe we are. It's a bigger faith thing for them to give than it is for most of us today. And they would just say, God, I trust you so much that the very first fruits, the stuff that I'm tempted just to hold on to, I'm giving to you. And I know you realize it's really, God owns it all anyway. And so it's just really a blessing that he only asks for 10% of what he's already blessed us with. And it's said that 90% of your income with God's blessing is more than 100% of your income without his blessing. And so the way this works for Kim and I is when, we get paid by the month, and, like probably most do, but for me and for us, I kind of divided that over the weeks, and I give every week because it's part of my worship. It's, I want it to be the first thing that I do every week. So I write a check. You guys know what checks are? Y'all ever seen these? Probably not. Actually, for me, it's the only check I write now, right? It's the only check I write. And you don't have to give through a check. You can, you can set it up here with Jill in the office, or you can, we're looking at ways to text to give and a, credit card. We might look at it at the beginning of the first of the year. But it's just what I do. It's my time every Sunday, the beginning of the week, to say, God, this is yours. Would you just bless whatever we have. God, thank you so much for what you have given. It's just the first thing we do. And you may wonder, I've had people ask me, why can't I make out the first check to the mortgage company? Well, here's a good reason. The mortgage company cannot bless your finances, right? It can't. I mean, you ever notice that? So far, Visa has never called me up and said, hey, if you pay us first, we'll pour out great blessings on your financial life. In fact, what Visa wants me to do is not pay so that I have all those huge interest expenses kick in, right? And I bless their financial life, right? The reality is the best way to be able to afford to tithe is to begin to tithe. And if you wait to tithe, whatever season you're in, there will always be a reason to wait, right? Even when you begin to make more money, expenses grow, there will always be a reason to wait. And so if you wait to tithe until you can't afford to tithe, you probably will never tithe. Here's the thing about money. Money's never about money. Money is always about trust. What or who do I really trust? It doesn't take any trust to give God my leftovers. Doesn't take any trust at all. God was teaching Israel to live by faith. And it's just the truth of us, right? None of us are really in control. And so I see these first fruits, and I give them to God, and God is faithful. He is. Tithing will test your faith, and it will build your faith. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. And I love how it talks about bringing the tithe, not about giving the tithe. It's, you know, that's not an accident. I can't give something that doesn't really belong to me. If it's your possession, I can bring it to you. I cannot give it to you. God says, that's what I want the tithe to be. For you to understand that I own it all, and you're just bringing that tithe to me. In the Bible, people give offerings over and above the tithe, right? They bring their tithe into the storehouse, into God's house, right? And then they give offerings. And Kim and I always have brought our tithe into the local church. We're a part of this church because this is our spiritual home. And we give over and above our tithe, both to our church and other ministries and those passion, causes that we have and that we're so passionate about. But with the tithe, we bring it into our spiritual home. 2 Corinthians 9 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. It's this promise that's over and over and over in Scripture. And I hope you hear the heart of God. Because the tithe or giving is really not a threat, it's a promise. It's a promise. And I think sometimes those of us who have grown up in a church, we get legalistic about it. And sometimes probably negative about giving. And it may even create some internal tension. And maybe you're feeling that even now. And I think the reason is because legalism focuses on the law rather than on grace, but we're not under the law. We are under the umbrella of grace. And the goal is to grow in the grace of giving. Grace is the genesis of generosity. And so let me just share with you some lessons that I've learned over the 25 years of giving. First, especially when it comes to the tithe. First, tithe is just trusting. It's as simple as that, right? I'm just going to trust God. You know, God doesn't need our money, but he wants my heart, and those two things are tied together. Second, tithe, I've discovered, keeps my greed in check. Now, you know, it's always there. I mean, there's always something. I walk into, a store, and I see something, and I mean, greed is always there. But this, my tithe discipline keeps that in check for me. Third, God-honoring goals like the tithe and giving are never easy. And so, you know, if you're thinking, wow, there's no way I can tithe, there's no way I can give 10%, that's a giant leap. Yeah, that's understandable. I mean, it's just like in every other area of my life, if I was going to run a marathon, I couldn't just go out and run 26 miles, right? I mean, I'd have to start small. And so just start with small steps, and God will applaud that every step of the way. The fourth thing is this, you can't outgive God. You can't. And now let me just say this. Please don't try to play God like a slot machine. I mean, if that's your attitude, you're giving for the wrong reasons, that will never work. But if you give for the right reasons, it is game on. I promise you this. God can do more with 90% than you can do with 100. God is a loving God, and he wants to bless us. And he doesn't need our money. He doesn't need that. He just knows when people like you and me bring the first fruits of everything we make to the local house of worship, we're going to honor God in that way. We're going to be able to enjoy our stuff, and we're going to have a blast in life, and we can help others and begin to build the most important thing out there, and that's the local church. It's radical generosity. It's living to give. The second thing is this. People that excel in the grace of giving will intentionally share their time. They begin to understand that it's all about serving people because people matter to God. And so you'll see those people that just continually serve and give of their time to other people. That's why, you know, our Rock, you know, serve team is so important. That's why the Rock mantra that we go by, reaching our community with kindness, is so important. It's this opportunity that we try to give all of us to spend time and to give time at our serve days and our five, you know, at our points of passion. People that excel in the grace of giving intentionally share their time. I love the story that Bob Goff shares. Bob Goff wrote Love Does. If you haven't read that, it's a great read. But Bob Goff travels 500,000 miles a year, right? Which means he spends a lot of time at the airport. And most of the time, when you and I go to the airport, we're just kind of showing our ID, getting through there, trying to go as fast as we can. But not Bob. One day he noticed this TSA agent who seemed to treat every traveler with a little extra courtesy. So one day Bob called him out. Instead of handing him his ID, Bob extended his hand to him and shook his hand. And he said, "Listen, I've passed by you a dozen times, and I just wanted to thank you for the way you treat each person in line. It's really amazing to me," he said. "The way you treat people reminds me a lot of the way Jesus loved." And this TSA official looked up at him, and then he stood up and got up and walked around behind his desk, and he went in for this big hug. And Bob Goff is real tall, and this guy was kind of short, so it was kind of like awkward, you know. And he gave him this big hug, and he said, "My name is Adrian," and it was kind of like a dance, you know. And they were kind of like hugging. Men don't hug well, you know. And so, you know, they're hugging there, and Bob said, you know, that every time he comes there, that he has a new friend, a new friendship with Adrian. And he says, "It's just a 3 minute at a time friendship. 3 minutes at a time." And I love that approach to life. 3 minutes at a time. That's really all it takes to bless someone. Maybe even less, right? One of the best ways to obey the Great Commandment is by throwing 3 minute parties. Where? Wherever. When, whenever, right? Who, whoever. But you might as well start with the person right next to you. Just 3 minute parties. I heard a guy say that really two type of people in the world. Those who walk in the room into a room of people and say, "Here I am," right? "Here I am," and you know, it's all about me, right? Or those who walk into a room of people and say, "There you are. People that excel in the grace of giving are intentional with their time, with sharing of their time. And you guys have done so much of that into my life. I think about the people who have been so important in my life. And not because they've spent a lot of time with me. Maybe it's just been 3 minute parties, right? But they've shared their smiles and their undivided attention to me and their words of encouragement with me at just the right time. At just the right time. They are people that just excel in the grace of giving. Third, people who excel in the grace of giving will intentionally share Christ. They just intentionally share Jesus in the way that they live. And the reason is because, you know, if there is a heaven and hell, and there is, and you know, you understand that, and you don't share the good news of Jesus Christ, that's a crime. And so people who excel in the grace of giving will look for opportunities to invest into people's lives and then invite them into a relationship where they begin to, you know, discover who Jesus is. And it seems natural to them. But I really believe it's something that they've committed their life to. That for them to excel in the grace of giving, they got to share the one that is the greatest giver of all. You know, they got to share about their God and the relationship they have with Him through Jesus Christ. They share Jesus. Personally invest in someone's life and personally share Jesus with them. And so what better time to do that than in the holidays? And as Stephanie encouraged you at the beginning of our service, I want to encourage you to begin to invest in people's life. Begin to think about people that you can invest in and then invite to our Christmas services. To all of our Christmas services through the whole month of December. to the children's musical on December 8th, to our worship team with doing the musical called The Arrival on the 22nd, to our Christmas Eve service, but also the other two Sundays. Just invite them and let them hear of the good news of Jesus Christ. Excel in the grace of giving. 4, people who excel in the grace of giving view their present resources from an eternal perspective. And we've talked about this, right? Jesus says in Matthew 6, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. So he's saying stop investing solely in things on earth. Because the reason is you can suffer great loss, and all those investments are temporal things. He's not saying it's wrong to save. He's not saying it's wrong to prepare for the future. You know, it's not wrong to have some nice things, but this is kind of a call against selfishness or greedy or hoarding in a way that you think this is what I want right now and I got to have it. You know, and thinking in my life, my success, my happiness, my power is going to come by investing time and energy in the right now, in the temporal stuff. And it's saying that, no, that's not it. Don't do that. Instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. He says it's a better investment. It's a 100% return. And all through the gospel, Jesus talks about why we invest in heaven and in eternal things that will last. He says this, because for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he's saying that there's a relationship in what we worship, what we have a relationship with. And so he says, invest in things that will last forever. When we invest treasure someplace, if I put it in my house or my possessions, that's where my heart is going to go, right? If I invest in other areas, my heart will go there. And it's temporary stuff. It's just moth food, he says. People who excel in the grace of giving understand that. They understand that there are two great categories when it comes to treasure, temporary and eternal. It would be so good for us in so many areas of our lives, our houses, our homes, our cars, especially, if we just put giant stickers on them that said temporary, right? Because our hearts get all wrapped up in that stuff. And Jesus says, it's just going to rust anyhow. Temporary. It's just temporary. It's just a pile of rust waiting to happen. It's just moth food waiting to get eaten. Why do we get so wrapped up in what's just temporary? For instance, nobody rents a Motel 6 room for a couple of nights and pays to have somebody come in and redecorate it, right? You wouldn't do that because it's just temporary. Nobody rents a car for one day and takes it over to Mr. Car Wash and gets it, and pays to have it detailed because it's just temporary. It's just for a moment. And so what are those eternal categories? Just God and the people God loves so much. Focus on what is eternal, not what is temporary. Start using what you have to lay up treasure for yourself in God's kingdom. This life is not just about this life. Leverage everything you have to point others to a life that is truly life, eternal life. Let's make a difference in this place for eternity. And then finally, people who excel in the grace of giving associate generosity with joy. It actually makes them happy. Over and over in the Bible, it connects. There's this connection that gets made between generosity and joy. And I think it's kind of cool that we just, we did a joy explosion series, and then we followed that up with this Live to Give series, because they're connected. They're connected. People who excel in the grace of giving experience joy. And all that leads to the offering. What should be the spirit in the room? What should the spirit in the room be when we bring God our tithes and we give Him our offerings? What should that moment be like? This is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:7. He says, each of you should give what you have and have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that's such a striking little word, that word cheerful. It's translated, the Greek word is translated cheerful. It's really the Greek word hilaros. Hilaros. We get our word hilarious from that word. And it's the only time that it's used in the New Testament. And so it says, our offerings, our giving, you know, they ought to be hilarious. God loves it when people get so freed up from greed and so freed from worry and so filled up with love and trust. They just give with joy. They laugh. They come dancing because of the blessings of their God. And so we're going to take an offering in a moment. And again, maybe this is your first time here and you're going, wow, this is really a strange Sunday to come. But don't let this time be awkward. And if you didn't prepare to give today, that's okay too. But as the plate passes you today, I want you to begin to really get into this moment, into the spirit of this moment, and really just begin to have this attitude of trust and gratitude and gratefulness for what God has done in your life. And maybe as it passes, if you don't, as you give, but also just say, God, I want to commit my life to live, to give, to begin to excel in the grace of giving. What would it look like if we close this series and we step into these next 4 or 5 weeks of December, what would it look like if we gave God the greatest offering in the history of our church? And I don't mean the biggest, okay? If you're thinking that, you're missing it. I mean the most grateful, the most thoughtful, the most celebrated, the most trusting, the most faith-filled, the most hilarious offering in the history of our church. How could God use that? How would that change you and me? If we really committed to becoming a people who live to give in every area of our life, our time, our talent, our treasures, who really ask God to give us the strength, the power to excel in the grace of giving. So what we're going to do here is, in this time of offering, our offering team's going to go to the back, and we're going to go from the back forward and then place the plates here on the stage, just symbolic of bringing our gifts, bringing the blessings of God that He's given us, giving those back, whether it's even just in a commitment that we make in our heart and our soul, or if it's something that we give, and just blessing and thanking God for that, committing to Him that we're going to be a people that excel in the grace of giving, that we're going to be a people that live to give in every area of our life. So pray with me, please. God, in light of your unending and ceaseless gifts to us, God, this is a way for us to say thank you. This offering, God, every time is a way for us to express our trust in you, God, our provider. God, it's a way for us to come alongside of you and to extend your kingdom. Because what we give right now, the way we commit our lives, God, the way we pray, God, we just ask you, God, to use whatever we give to help little children learn God's love. To help them to really understand, God, that you love them. God, that you'll use this live-to-give attitude to help students know that you have a plan, a purpose, a destiny for their lives. God, that you'll use our gifts, the gift of ourselves to you, to help grown men and women begin to trust you in every area of their lives. You'll help all of us really discover and understand the grace gift that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. That through Him we can experience salvation. We'd really begin to understand that grace. That God, you would use us as a people that are committed to live, to give, to help hungry people be fed and trapped people to be freed. God, I just thank you that we get to be a part of that. But God, there's nothing like the local church. And you give us an opportunity to be a part of that and to come alongside you, God, and be the hope of the world through the way we give our lives away. So, God, as we come to this time of offering, may we dance, may we cheer, may we experience just this joy as we commit to live, to give, as we desire to be a people that excel in the grace of giving. In Jesus' name I pray.